I'm Stargate Pioneer from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am your chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and your other reporters for this special episode 157 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
You can undo brain damage? Why haven't you helped Rory out?
Who says I haven't done it already? And Michelle.
I'll take a nightmare that's real over a dream that's a lie.
Any day of the weekend, twice on Sundays. Hey folks, this podcast is recorded live on Thursday, June 8th, 2017, live on Geeks.live. Remember, our newspaper is full of spoilers, facts, and speculations about Arrow and the rest of the DC TV, movie, and comic universe.
That's right. Tonight we'll be discussing Legends Tomorrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that will be dropped in the last week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as other shows such as The Flash, Supergirl, Legends Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, Lois and Clark, Justice League Unlimited, Batman Beyond, Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Teen Titans, and Static Shock.
What about Wonder Woman?
Oh yeah, I forgot the Wonder Woman TV show.
Yeah,
there you go, Linda Carter, there you go.
I didn't do the Batman 60s show either, I just got animated stuff for the most part.
Adam West for the win.
Exactly. If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Thanks, guys! Michelle, why don't we just jump right in and break down the current episode?
Sure. The episode is called The Chicago Way. It's Season 2, Episode 8. It aired Thursday, December 8, 2016. Director Ralph Hemmecker did 24 Once Upon a Time, 2 Legends, 5 Flash, and 1 Vampire Diaries. Writer Sarah Nicole Jones has written 5 Legends, 3 Forever, and 8 Longmire. And Ray Utarnichet, who's written 6 Legends, 1 Justice League Action, 1 Flash, and 4 Tomorrow People.
Well, Chicago Way, I kind of figured I was watching an episode of The Untouchables. Didn't you feel that way, Chris?
I've never seen The Untouchables, SP.
You really never seen The Untouchables with Kevin Costner?
I have not.
Oh, you have a homework assignment this weekend. You have to. It's iconic.
Sean Connery. One of the things I love about Sean Connery, he just does his own accent in whatever he's doing. So hearing him in there, you've got to watch it, at least for Sean Connery.
Back in the early 20s and 30s, the 1920s and 30s, Chicago was filled by first-generation immigrants, so it would have been normal to have somebody like Sean Connery from Scotland be part of the police force in Chicago. So anyway, Chris, you really have to watch it. And for anybody listening to this podcast, if you haven't watched The Untouchables, the movie is what we're talking about. There was also a TV show way back in the day. I believe it was black and white. The movie, anyway, it is worth seeing. There's one specific scene that sticks in my mind with the baby carriage going down the train station stairs. Michelle, you know what I'm talking about. And there's a little flipping action going on. I won't spoil it, but you have to go see it. All right. So now that we got out of the way, let's jump back into The Chicago Way of Legends of Tomorrow. Let's talk about that week back in early December. This was the week after the crossover, so ratings kind of reflected a little bit of the bump. So on Tuesday, the 6th of December, Flash had a live rating of 3.14. Now, you add in the DVR numbers later, it was 4.91. It was an episode called The Present. On Wednesday, the 7th of December, the Arrow episode, got a live rating of 1.94, which I believe might have been closest to the high, minus the crossover for the season.
That hurts.
I know. But Live Plus DVR got a 3.07 at least, Chris.
That helps.
It was the episode called What We Leave Behind. And of course, this episode of Legends of Tomorrow on Thursday, the 8th of December, the Chicago Way got a live rating of 2.0, which meant it outperformed Arrow. And the Live Plus DVR ratings for the week were 3.17. So all the shows Live Plus DVR did well above the 2.0 needed to keep the shows on the air. Now let's move on into the overall theme for the episode, the Chicago Way. Michelle, what do you got for us?
Well, they end up time traveling to 1927, Al Capone, Chicago. And back then, Al Capone was Chicago. So they have to go up against Al Capone, and they end up doing it the best way, basically Chicago style, like a criminal. And we finally get the full Legion of Doom. You know, Malcolm shows up, and they're very being, you know, Chicago in their own way. So they kind of go, got to be tough against the Legion of Doom, because Malcolm introduces that deal that's very tempting, but they don't give in to the deal.
No, they don't, although it kind of appears a little bit that they do. And when Sarah was talking to Stein and said, I learned this from you, you just saw Stein physically wince. He's like, oh, because I am keeping something from you on something that I did that was basically to change my life. So there is that too. But the Chicago Way, of course, Al Capone, Elliot Ness, and that whole storyline was amazing to bring us to that point in time. Although I've noticed a trend now. Wherever they go, they kind of fix time, but it's not how it originally went.
It's close enough. It counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and time travel.
Okay.
Al Capone will get arrested and tax evasion claims will happen and he'll still be put away. He won't. I love that line by Gideon when she's like, he becomes something worse, a politician. So he won't become mayor of Chicago. It'll be fine.
We hope. And we'll see what Al Capone does later on in the season. A little spoiler for you there. We're not done with the man quite yet.
Tease, tease, tease.
So fight scenes. I want to start off with the fight scenes here because I've been noticing something lately, and it really began with the Arrow season finale, where we did a comparison on season one versus where they are now and the action scenes. And I was watching the action scenes, which are still actiony. They're more than you get with a daily soap opera or whatever. They're a lot better done. But the quick cuts, the obvious use of stuntman, and it's kind of cheap action now versus where it was in Arrow season one and two. And it might be one of the reasons why these shows aren't doing as well as like Flash season one and Arrow season one and two. What do you think about that, Chris?
I think that's possible. I think it's also we got used to really, really high level fights, high quality fights. And I think they're spread thin again. I know we talked about this, but they're coordinating stuff across what, four shows now?
Mm-hmm.
There's bound to be a little bit of exhaustion and, oh, we could have done better on this. Oops. It's not bad, but you're right. It's not quite the same as what it was.
The fight that I really noticed this on was the fight in the Wave Runner between Malcolm and Sarah in the captain's room there. It was good. They had the moves down, but the quick camera cuts, it was obviously, it wasn't Malcolm. It was a stuntman. And then Sarah with her hair swishing around, it was obvious that it wasn't her. And now I will give them somewhat of a pass in this episode because this is a week after the crossover, so they're kind of tired out and tuckered out from the week before and all the great fight scenes, combined fight scenes that they did back then. But still, I wanted to see this continue on in the better quality of fight, and I'm just not seeing it. So I'm just going to keep an eye on it, and hopefully this next year coming up this fall, October 2017, we'll see a little bit better fight coordination. But Michelle, what do you think about it, all the fights in this episode?
Yeah, there really wasn't a lot of fighting besides there was a few, you know, Sarah got some kicks in with Al Capone's men and she went up against Malcolm's stunt double. But there was a lot of Nate stealing up. Like, she actually even said, you know, steal up, and it's him going with the bullets and everything. It was interesting to see him finally have control of his power. So that was kind of cool. But I thought it was interesting the first when they go to rescue Ness.
Yes.
Like they're not even hiding the fact that they're in their gear. They're in their, and like, they're like, hey, our new friends have friends, because like, they're not even secret. It's like, look at us. We're a superhero team in 1927 Chicago.
It's how you keep things badass.
They did have the Justice Society of America, right? So it was kind of known, superheroes in that universe, different from ours, is kind of known back then. So you've got that going on. Another thing that I noticed, by the way, is when they were going to rescue Sarah and Stein, they were on the way there, and Mick is leading the rescue as the criminal. And they went to stop the shipment of bootleg in the truck. And she just gets out there, and she just pepper sprays the truck, right? And she's getting shot at. And the guys in the truck are completely missing Vixen, but yet Rory comes in and just totally decimates the truck. Are these guys, do they go to the Stormtrooper school of arms and aiming and shooting? Or is she like got some superpower that deflects bullets that I don't know about? I mean, what was up with that?
The script writers like her. No, I don't know.
Maybe it's just something that's universal. Like, if you are a bad guy, you just shoot like a Stormtrooper. You know, there's no school. It's just something that's just understood.
Yeah, sure. Henchman number 23. The blue Nissan Stanza. Yeah, except for there was no Nissan Stanzas back in 1927. So what was there? Chris, what was a good? It was a Hudson? No, that was in the 40s. I guess blue Buick. And there wasn't any blue cars either, was there?
No.
Oh, well. All right, so fights, we've got the beginning that which they save Ness, which they put him in harm's way to begin with. There was the Vixen and Rory stealing the bootlegger. They are the team going against Capone's men, basically in the Wave Rider and in the rescue for Sarah. And then against Thawne, who, is this the first time that we've heard his beep, 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 and he leaves?
Yes.
Think so.
I mean, he's looked at his watch before, but this is the first time where it beeps and he's like, I gotta go.
And then we know now, by the way, spoilers, is because we've watched to the end of the season. What's happening is he has to stay in front of the time wraiths. So his time literally is up. He has to go to the next time, or in the time no man's land. What is that called?
The vanishing point?
Yeah, he's got to go to the vanishing point to stay ahead of or isolated from the race, so he's got to do that, leaving his compadres there to try to pick up the pieces, and Sarah finally gives in and gives him the amulet. I think that was the wrong call. What do you think, Michelle?
Yeah, I'm surprised that they can't find Stein on their own. I don't know. They knew that, okay, so at the beginning, they knew that Al Capone had Ness where he did because Nate was like, oh, Al Capone always used this pier to shove people into the river with cement blocks on their feet. And that's where they find Stein. So I don't see why they could not have logically found him like on their own.
Because plot.
There you go. You beat me to it.
Go ahead. You can say it too. We can say it together if you want, but I think you need to say it too.
Because plot.
You didn't just say it. You sang it. Way to go, buddy. There you go.
Yeah, I just sang on the internet. This is a bad idea.
So 1927 wasn't the only place that we went to, but it was pretty cool, wasn't it, Michelle, 1927?
Oh, I loved it. Okay, look, I'm not one of those people that wants to like live in the past because I'm a woman, so it's barely good now. So, but the set design was really, especially in the club, but what really sold it was the outfits. The costume design in this episode was stellar. Everything from Sarah's get up in the speakeasy to Vixen's styling. I really enjoyed how everybody, you know, looked and everything.
I enjoyed Sarah's eyes. The deep mascara, the 20s sort of, I guess, speakeasy girl. I don't know what to call them. She was a cigarette girl, right, in the speakeasy. Just the makeup and the eyes was very 20-ish, and I did appreciate that. What do you got, Chris?
I kind of agreed with that. Sarah's my favorite in all this stuff, as per normal.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. And it was really funny at the beginning where she went into the cargo hold and it was the two quote unquote brothers, which were roughing it up in the cargo hold. And she went down there, hey, I've got my eyes on you. Don't tear a hole in my ship again. And they walk away and then they're fighting again. So go figure.
Yeah. Don't make me come down there.
Nate and Ray. Ugh. Go figure. But 1927 wasn't the only place we went to. We also went to 1967, which sets up a very interesting arc, which we will embark on for the rest of the season. Didn't it, Michelle?
Yeah. Oh, it was great. All of a sudden, we see this person running and you hear Rip and such. And there's a trench coat and there's some brown hair. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my gosh, it's a Rip Hunter because he's been MIA. And all of a sudden, you hear, cut, no, 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 no. And then all of a sudden you see who we know to be Rip Hunter as a movie director in LA and not being very Rip Hunter-ish.
No, no, not at all.
He's a sissy. That's the only way to describe him. He's got no backbone to him whatsoever. He can't even control his own set. And the movie that he's making, quite frankly, is not good. So,
which we'll find out more next week.
Can't wait for next week. All right. So Sarah Lance, she really bucks up of everything going on. I think she handles this well. If anything has shown that she is a good captain, if we've had this story going throughout the season so far, this was another great example of her being a good captain on the Wave Rider.
Yeah, like she has a plan. And when Mick Rory, you know, kind of throws this little fit, she's like, fine, you stay here and watch Ness. And we'll take care of everything because we got it handled. And the look on her face when she says no to Malcolm, because Malcolm's deal was, hey, I'm the one that made the Queen's Gambit sink. I'm basically the one that killed your sister. So why don't I give you 9 years back in your life and you'll be happy. Maybe you'll find a girl or a boy to be with and be a lawyer or whatever and something like that. And the way she just looked at him and said, no, that was steel right there.
It was. And then for those joining us for the first time, by the way, I just have to call back to what exactly the Queen's Gambit was. Way back on episode one of The Arrow, season one, which is what started this whole thing with The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow, and now Supergirl, is because the Queen's Gambit went down and Oliver Queen and his dad were on a life raft. And eventually Oliver ended up on Lian Yu as well as Oliver's father. And Sarah Lance was on the Queen's Gambit as well. And she had her own journey following that, but they were basically shipwrecked all because of Malcolm. So he is the reason, Malcolm is the reason behind where we're at today with all these superheroes, right, Chris?
Pretty much. Malcolm is the forefather of all things, which is kind of scary when you think about it, to realize that Malcolm started all of this.
It's just a crazy, wacky guy. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't have had it any other way. As much as I don't like his character, it's been a fun ride on all the shows he's been on.
R.I.P. Malcolm.
No, we don't know that for sure. We haven't seen a body. It wasn't like Kovar. I mean, we saw Kovar's body. We haven't seen Malcolm's body yet.
R.I.P. Ivan Drago.
There you go. So Nate obviously has some plans which go awry, mostly because Ray follows him, Ray and Stein. But does Ray have a plan, Chris?
No. This one of the smartest guys in the show never has a plan anymore, it seems like.
No.
Yeah, we had this discussion before about, is Ray and Nate, are they too much alike? And can the show handle both of them? And then here's this all sort of like, well, like they were measuring each other's brains, kind of whipping that part of their body out. Because it really was like, oh, I know this history and blah, 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 history, 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 history. And Ray's like, but I saw the movie and maybe I would know better. And I look more like Kevin Costner than you do and blah, blah, blah. It was just like, this is a little annoying. And it makes Ray a little bit too childish. I mean, I know he's like the upbeat Boy Scout, but this one, it kind of annoyed me a little bit in this episode. If it wasn't for Rory, it was, you know, because Rory got in there and just like, you know, you got to do this like a criminal. And it was like, okay, Rory kind of saved it.
He did, because Nate only had 12% of a plan. Come on. That was a good reference. That was a nice pull. Come on. Give me credit there. Okay. Yeah. But yes. Mick comes in. He's the criminal. He gets Vixen thinking in terms of being a criminal, and she likes it, at least for now. But Mick has these visions, and it's alluded to right from the beginning of the first quotes as we had when we came in, that something was done to Mick's brain. And he is seeing Snart, which is great seeing Wentworth Miller on the screen, by the way. I don't care if he's a vision, if he's real, if he's past Snart, if he's current Snart. He is awesome to have on screen every time they do it. So very grateful that they were able to put him in this episode. But he's not real, is he, Michelle?
No, he's a vision. And, oh, gosh, just watching Wentworth Miller, he literally like just chews those lines up, you know, like, you're a puppy, Mick, and, you know, doing the right thing is going to cost you and all that type of stuff. Like, was she worth it? And just hearing Snart be that awful nagging part of Rory's brain was just great to watch.
I love Mick in this episode, and it gets me to a point of Mick has had this great journey throughout this season, which I had pointed out before, but now that we've seen the end of it, we kind of see what Mick's journey is. But at this point in the season, I'm thinking, you know, he's got a super brain going. He has been transformed. He really can think his way through everything. He can lead the team when he has to. He's got the know-how to get things done, and he's beginning to gel with the rest of the team. And we see where that goes for the rest of the season. But right now, I'm really enjoying having Mick on the show.
He's my second favorite.
Laurel Lance is your first, followed by Mick.
I love Laurel. She's the best. We want Laurel. Bring her back. Yay.
Well, you can celebrate because we have had her back on the show.
Not really. She's still dead and rotting. This is an alternate Laurel who is far more tolerable.
She pulls it off so well, though.
What, the dead and rotting?
This is also the episode I really thought Mick and Vixen were going to get together because, you know, they're all criminals together. Vixen steals the bottle of booze for them and they kind of have the hug and everything. This is when, you know, this and the samurai episode, I'm like, oh, okay, they're going to set this up. We're going to have to see Mick deal with feelings. But spoiler alert, it doesn't happen.
It's kind of a bummer, too. I mean, I'm not a shipper or anything, but it'd been an interesting twist for Mick's character to, you know, actually care about someone beside himself.
And besides Snart, too, because he cares about Snart.
Yeah, that's because that's his brother, basically.
Yeah, and he points it out to Nate and Ray this episode, is that you guys have to have each other's backs, your partners. You need to do that no matter what's going on. And he's all the time thinking of himself and he's missing Snart, so he is trying to impart wisdom, which I saw that scene again, and I got a little chill up and down my spine, which is interesting because I was watching it on the treadmill, so I don't know if I tweaked my back while I was running or not. But
you might have just been overdoing it, SP. You got to calm down a little bit.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you think that people are just forgetting Rory's Kronos, or do you think he just wants the people to forget he's Kronos?
I think he wants to forget he's Kronos, too.
I think there's a little bit of both because these people spend an awful lot of time in the time stream in between episodes, like weeks at a time, which we don't see. And I think that a lot of time has passed. And have we answered this question? I don't think they actually age in the time stream, do they?
Well, they are living their day-to-day lives. So they would be, you know, like when 24 hours passes on the ship, they would be aging that way. You know, they still are on their own time path, kind of like Doctor Who. You're still going, even though you're traveling to different parts in time, you're still aging and such.
But they haven't actually stated that on the show so far. So I could see it where they would retcon everything, to use a Doctor Who term, by the way, where they would retcon everything and say you don't age when you're in the time stream. So I could see, I don't know, whatever the case is that they've got a lot of time in between these shows from week to week, from most of the time. Sometimes they go right into it. And I think that they have forgotten a lot of the past and they're moving on. Like, they've all got past and they've all been moving on from it. So I think they're like, okay, you're Kronos, but that's Kronos. And they're not keeping an eye on him because he's Kronos, But he's moved on with that part of his life, and that's what they're thinking of. You got to remember, this superhero universe is full of forgiveness and moving on. Okay, guys, I got a question. What kind of beer is it? Because he's always drinking the beer. So what kind of... I was trying to read the label, and he's got it half down whenever he's drinking the bottle, and it's a red label with white lettering on it, but I can't tell what type of beer it is. Anybody know?
I have no clue.
If Neil was here, he would probably know. Oh, well.
Of course he would know. He's Neil.
He is the master of knowing all sorts of things.
He is. And he is the center of the Gonna Geek Financial Nerf Center as well.
He is our financial Nerf Center expert.
All right, Michelle, what else do we have for this episode that we haven't covered yet?
Stein is distracted because he's getting a flood of memories about his daughter, Lily, his time aberration daughter. And he actually confesses that he accidentally created a time aberration in the form of a daughter to Sarah. And, you know, at first she's upset, but then at the end she's like, you know what? We are a family and we take care of each other, even when we mess up. And, you know, at the end, I like that scene where she goes, well, what's her name? And all that type of stuff. So,
yeah, just basically saying, okay, well, this is where we're at. What's her name? And we'll go from there. And I think Sarah's thinking the whole time that, you know, this is a time aberration. Eventually it's going to go away, but he's not going to forget it because he's stuck here in the time stream. So, but at the same time, he is getting these flashes of Lily and remembering more and more of her life. As he says, like the kindergarten teacher or whatever that he had a conference with or something like that. I can't remember the exact quote, but he was remembering stuff from her school year. And it was just becoming more and more real to him. And that's important. So along those lines, though, Jax, who's got this psychic connection to Stein, didn't notice that Stein wasn't real when they came back. Or he did, but he just couldn't quite place it. I think he's going to have a closer tabs on Stein in the future. And I don't think this comes up again this season, but I think we're going to definitely see that as we go forward.
Yeah, that's another thing about like why they couldn't find Stein. I remember that one episode where, was it Stein cut into his arm and it appeared on Jax, or did Jax cut into his arm and it appeared on Stein, something like that?
It was Jax cut into his arm while Stein was kidnapped so they could pass him a message.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I'm not saying that it's like some magical telepathy thing, but that's, I guess that's my only quibble with this episode, is that they got the amulet that way. But hey, it was still a fun episode. It's Legends. We sit back, we eat our popcorn, and we go on a really fun ride. This is the fun, the series this year, compared to Flash and everything. It was, Supergirl is technically on a different Earth, but compared to the Flash and Arrow, this was like the fun show this year.
Supergirl was a little fun, but yeah, this definitely was a fun show, and I'm glad we're rewatching it just for the funness of it, and it kept my attention even on the treadmill. Let me tell you, on the treadmill, I get distracted easily because, well, pain, and it's nice to be distracted, and this kept my attention, and especially since it was the Chicago Way and the Untouchables, and I was just clamoring for all the actual references to it, which I guess passed completely by Chris. You need to go watch the Untouchables, man. You just do. You have to do it. Hashtag Chris needs to watch Untouchables, which is way too long of a hashtag, but that's how I roll, people.
Alrighty then.
So next week, we continue on with our rewatch of Legends of Tomorrow, don't we, Michelle?
Yes, next week we're going to talk about Season 2, Episode 9, Raiders of the Lost Art. It aired Tuesday, January 24, 2017. Damian Dark and Malcolm Merlyn create a big aberration as they attempt to capture Rip in 1967. Director Dermot Downs, writers Kito Shimizu and Chris Fedak.
Chuck, yay!
I love it.
It's going to be a good one. Can't wait for that. All right. In the meantime, we do have some news for you, so stay tuned as we transition back to the newsroom. From the Starling City Earth 2 newsroom and the beautiful Starling City building that we have, which is the tallest building, by the way, in Starling City on Earth 2. And we just love the accommodations here. Chris, We have some information on when some of these shows are going to arrive on Netflix.
That's right. For all of you fans in Earth One who like to watch these shows, there, remember we talked about last year the fact that the CW had signed a new deal with Netflix? That new deal was basically the week after these shows end, they're all going to Netflix. So if you want to rewatch any of your favorite episodes of Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl, any of those things, they're all on Netflix right now. Seriously, as soon as you finish this podcast, load up Netflix, rewatch your favorite episode, i.e. the ones with Slade Wilson in them.
I did watch this episode of Legends of Tomorrow via Netflix, via my PS3 on the treadmill, so I can attest that they are all right there. Now, Michelle, while these latest seasons are on Netflix, we have some word on exactly the premiere dates for next season this fall.
Yes, CW announced the fall premiere dates. Monday, October 9th, Supergirl will premiere at the 8 p.m. slot. Tuesday, October 10th, 8 p.m. will be The Flash Season 4 premiere. 9 p.m. will be DC's Legend of Tomorrow Season 3 premiere. And Thursday, October 12th, will be Arrow Season 6 premiere at 9 p.m.
All these times are in Eastern time zone, by the way.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Like this year, CW had that great, you know, like because they had the four shows, four nights, and they were able to do Superhero Week and all that greatness. And now it's just, I wonder how they're going to use to promote. I like that promotion last year. So different now.
It's like it must be Tuesday in Crimson City, or it must be Wednesday in Star City, or it must be Monday in National City. They use that line more than once in each of these shows, so it'll be fun seeing how they tie that in next year. So Chris mentioned Deathstroke before because, you know, he really likes Slade Wilson. He actually has some insight into some desires of Manu Bennett.
So if you follow Manu Bennett on Twitter, like many people do, including myself, you've probably seen him bombarding everyone and retweeting everyone who mentions, hey, let's get Deathstroke the Terminator, his own series. Make it happen, Netflix. Make it happen, Warner Brothers. Everyone has been tweeted about it. Manu Bennett is seriously on board with it, but he brought one of the most important people on board with it. That would be Marv Wolfman, the creator of Deathstroke the Terminator, who said he was totally on board with it and that he enjoyed Bennett's portrayal of Slade. So anyone listening to us in the Arrow writers room or in the Warner Brothers area or over at Netflix, we'd love to see a Deathstroke the Terminator TV show. Make it happen, please.
Well, it wouldn't be the only, like, bad, good guy, bad guy, anti-hero, I guess, who's got his own show, because Marvel's got something going on their side. So I could see DC countering with Deathstroke. Matter of fact, I might say that Deathstroke might be the stronger show out of the two. I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
I don't know. Punisher's really fun there. I think they would both be enjoyable. I don't want to cast favoritism or favorites right here, right now.
Yeah, it would be hard to say without knowing, right, Michelle?
Oh, please, Deathstroke. Punisher is just, here are all my guns, let me shoot people, and that's pretty much it. Deathstroke's got a lot more going for him, especially if the show picked up where Season 5 and Arrow left off, where he, you know, got information about his son and everything like that. So Slade's got a lot more things going on than the Punisher.
See, while I want to get a Slade series, I almost want to have him in Season 6 of Arrow also, at least for the first half of it or something.
Maybe spin it off the way they did with The Flash, you know, do a mid-season finale that's big into launching his show.
I like that thought. Make it happen. Write it up, guys.
That might actually be doable if the Arrow's ratings continue to drop.
Yeah.
I know, it's reality though, right? So you got to save the time slot somehow. We have seen shows get canceled mid-season before. Now, I think they're going to sell it, Arrow, anyway. They're going to sell it as this is the final season and this is what we have to do. So I think CW will hang on with them because they get rights later, too. I was noticing The 100 is on Netflix, too, by the way. And I was like, I've never seen an episode of 100. And I really should because, well, I'm watching everything else. So
it's on Netflix. I've heard good things about it.
It's very good. I love that show.
And I don't doubt it, Michelle. It's just been a time factor for me and availability. But now it's all on Netflix. Yeah, I should be able to pick it up. This summer has been slow, by the way. I just noticed that as we're podcasting on Thursday, June the 8th, tomorrow night is when one of the sci-fi shows, summer shows, picks up Dark Matter. It's the first show that is airing, and it's just going to be Dark Matter for a few weeks before Killjoys comes in too. That's the only show, that and Deadliest Catch. So that's my week, Deadliest Catch and Dark Matters. And in the meantime, I'm getting to catch up on some great TV.
So I'm going to guess on Deadliest Catch, they're going to catch crab this week.
Not necessarily, because the crab quotas are so low that some of them have switched to other fisheries.
Actually, my girlfriend played that same line on me because I watched and I said, ha, joke's on you. The one guy's catching cod. I win. And this has been your Deadliest Catch break on the Starling Tribune.
And your global warming warning, too, by the way. That's why the crab count is...
Global warming's a myth.
Okay, President Trump. With that, let's move on into the fact that we are part of this great geeky network, the GinnaGeek.com network. We've got a full slate of shows with more coming. That's right, more shows are coming. In the meantime, Chris has a great promo on one of the other shows on the network.
Right, so like SP mentioned, there's a lot of shows on the network, and each week we try to highlight one specific show to kind of tease you a little bit and go, ooh, I might want to go check that out. And this week we're going to tease you with episode 82 of Better Podcasting, featuring our very own Stargate Pioneer guest host and permanent guest host, Stephen John Drew. Isn't that right?
Yeah, guest host Stephen John Drew. I am actively looking for a new co-host for Better Podcasting. Stephen might not be working out for me. So if you know somebody that might be good for co-hosting a podcast about podcasting, I am taking resumes at the moment.
Yeah, I heard that Stephen guy's kind of a hoser, eh?
Definitely. You betcha.
Well, let's talk about episode 82 of Better Podcasting. This week's episode is all about you, as we take listener clips on what questions you had before you started podcasting and what you discovered the answer was afterwards. It's a jam-packed episode of great discussion, and you can check that out over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And while you're there, feel free to check out all the other awesome podcasts that make up the network. I'm pretty sure we'll have something to scratch whatever your geeky itch is.
And if we don't, we will shortly, apparently.
And if you have it, just apply to join the network. We are always looking for more podcasts. All the information's on over there. But that's enough of my rambling and promoting the network. I want to thank everyone who's watching the show live, downloading the episode after it releases on our RSS feed, or watching the replays on YouTube, Diamond Club TV, the Gunna Geek site, any of those places. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah, and if you're here in the live chat, we really appreciate that. Right now, we are Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. That will be changing later on this summer as we flip our broadcasting schedules to fit the new CW schedules that we just laid out for you earlier on in our news section. But don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe us, or give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would be awesome, or whatever podcast catcher that you use. And thank you very much to our editing team behind the scene. You guys really make the show run, including our video editor, Mr. Chris.
You can find all of our contact information on the Gunna Geek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, that's a great episode, guys, and that about wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag mix a god.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag I don't do homework.
And I am at Michelle Ely, signing off with hashtag Rory's beer and chips. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.